Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to our show. I'm really glad that you've tuned in today. This is a very important show we have today. We're talking about mental health in America today. And you may or may not know this, but there's approximately 58.7 million adults, or 22.8% of the U.S. adult population, experience mental illness. Now, that was a statistic in 2023. I can guarantee you that that statistic is up today. Serious mental illness is around 15 million or so adults. And the youth in our culture, one in five adolescents right now are having some kind of a mental health issue. So it's an important topic. You know, if it hasn't touched your family, I bet you there's some family member a friend out there, someone that you might know that is suffering. And so why is that? You know, is it the food that we eat? Is it the thoughts that we think? Is it genetic? Is it because we just haven't figured out who we are? You know, I'm not talking about as a person. I'm talking more about as a soul. You know, what is causing the mental illness crisis in America? Well, we're going to explore that. But more importantly, we're going to explore some of the causes and treatments and facilities that are available for you. If you're experiencing some challenges, or you know your family member is experiencing challenges, I think, you know, we need to know that this is the age of collaboration. We get to collaborate with one another, right? You don't have to do it alone. You can figure this out if you know, mental illness, I don't like to even call it that, but when we have our brains aren't working right, our thinking isn't working right, it leaves symptoms, right? It leaves symptoms, you know. What are the symptoms? Well, the symptoms can be you don't want to get out of bed, you feel depressed. The symptoms can be that you just don't engage anymore. You just, you know, you're not engaging. Your brain's not working like it normally works, right? You're just feeling like there's something off and you just don't know what that is. You're not being able to function properly at work, or, you know, in some cases, you're not being able to drive anymore. Fortunately, a family member of mine is having a challenge like that. So there's symptoms that it leaves. And so we want to talk about some of the symptoms and then some of the ways that you might get some help so that you can take your life, take your brain, take your body, take your family and thrive. And become better and better in the world, right? We're all here. Listen, we're all here growing, learning, evolving, developing. We're all souls here. You know, nobody's doing it perfect. I haven't found the perfect human yet. I don't know if you have. We all have past mistakes. And we can overcome all of our challenges with the right help. So I'm going to take a break. When I get back, we're going to have my very special guest. Take care.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want. Just return it for a full refund.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm with my very special guest, Marilyn Lajara. Lajara? Yeah, I almost got that right.
Yeah, Lajara. The J is an H.
Well, welcome to the show, Marilyn. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, for those of you that don't know Marilyn, this is, by the way, I believe this is going to be a very impactful episode before I start here. I just feel it. So for those of you that don't know Marilyn, she's a licensed mental health counselor. She shares her journey and expertise in addressing mental health challenges within underserved communities. I was going to say undeserved. We all deserve help. With over 15 years of experience in nonprofit organizations and community-based mental health services, Marilyn has worked with diverse populations from geriatric care to youth at risk in incarceration or educational neglect. I'm having fun talking today. Marilyn discusses the critical need to challenge mental health stigmas, particularly in communities of color, and how representation in therapy can foster healing and empowerment, and so much more. Marilyn, it's really great to have you. How'd you get into the mental health field yourself?
That's an interesting story. I mean, I was going to college and I wanted to be a lawyer. All right, thought that's what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to help people on the legal side of things. And I ended up taking some psychology courses, and I found myself kind of delving more into these courses, feeling more interested in pulling away from my interest in law. And before I knew it, I was majoring in applied psychology, human relations. From there, realized I really want to get into the mental health field. There aren't enough people that look like me in the field. And so I thought it was really important for there to be representation, for there to be, you know, young representation, a woman of color, so that people would feel that they could reach out and get help.
Well, you know, there's a woman of color. There's a lot of mental health stigmas out there, you know, and how do we break those stigmas?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of modeling and showing people, right? There are a lot of stigmas, and there's stigmas about what mental health issues look like, right? What people anticipate. There's stigma around what a therapist should look like. There's even stigma around what help needs to look like. And there's a lot of factors that come into play. People's, you know, cultural backgrounds, ethnicities, and just the shame that's involved when it comes to asking for help with very personal matters.
But that's interesting what even health looks like. I can define what health should, what health should look like. Health is what I've done a lot of these shows, and I'll tell you this, health is definitely a journey. It's not a one-stop shop. And if you're looking for a specific therapist or a person that looks a certain way or acts a certain way or has a certain degree, that might be a great starting point for you. But with all healing, it's usually a journey, and it takes you in paths that you need to learn. From my point of view, we heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's where true healing happens. So we're talking right now the mental side of that. What do you say to that, by the way?
I agree with you that, you know, health is all encompassing. We should look at health as all these different aspects of ourselves. You know, mental health is health, right? It's not this separate thing. It's all entitled, you know, it's all part of your health. You know, if your physical health is optimal, great. But if your mental health is not well, then you are not in a healthy state, which shows just the significance and the importance of that balance of all these facets of who we are. And why it's important to address, you know, everything as a whole, just of having a holistic approach, which is what you were referencing there.
Yeah, I was. And I think, you know, from my point of view, you know, our bodies tell us, you know, what's going on mentally, you know, and you know, they're there to help us to understand, you know, if we got stuff going on in the body, we probably have stuff going on in the mind. Not always, but most of the time. So let me ask you this. You emphasize the importance of self-awareness in healing. Can you somehow identify, you know, is there a personal baseline? You know, when we say self-awareness, you know, what's the baseline and why is that critical?
Yeah, it's important to know what your baseline is. When you are at your calmest state, when you are at peace, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that even taste like to you, right? Because, you know, we're bringing in all of our senses into how we're experiencing things and how we're navigating the world and how we're experiencing the world ourselves. So it's important to know where your baseline lies. You know, think about a time, a moment, a space in your life where you felt calm, at peace. What did that feel like internally for you, physically? What was happening? You know, then you can sort of tell when something is a little off, right? We talk about that off feeling and maybe not being particularly sure of what that looks like or feels like, but knowing that something doesn't align for me right now.
You know, it's interesting. I've noticed that a lot of people have kind of a baseline of stress that they're unconscious of. So their baseline might feel like, you know, this is the calmest I get. How do you identify that for people? Let's say, you know, that you as, you know, as the practitioner, as the one that can see, how do you know when somebody's like has an unconscious stress that's holding them back maybe?
Yeah, I mean, in therapy, we talk a lot about what the outward symptoms are, what the inward symptoms are, what the client is experiencing. So we talk a lot about how stress, anxiety, all of that manifests differently for every single person. And so each person's body, each person tells a different story. And so when a client comes in, we're saying, okay, well, tell, what are you experiencing? You know, if the client tells you, oh, you know, I'm generally fine, but I just have a hard time sleeping, or I just feel really tense in my shoulders all the time. I'm not sure why. Or I get this feeling in my stomach, like I'm waiting for something bad to happen, but everything is going really well, right? These are all manifestations of that stress and that anxiety and how it's showing up for that client. And so really exploring those symptoms, that manifestation, and really educating the client on how stress, anxiety can show up physically. Because people think, well, I just have a stomach ache. It's just an upset stomach. But if you have an upset stomach all the time and there's medical studies that have ruled out any medical condition, then there's something else happening for you.
Yeah, a stomach condition or a backache all the time or a headache or, you know, some any other symptoms. I think these it's interesting because, yeah, you know, the doctors, I was just looking at the other day, the doctors have a name for diseases that they cannot identify. They just don't know what. I forgot what the name is, but you can look it up on AI. Maybe you know, Marilyn. But, you know, there are certain things that we, I think sometimes we look to the medical community to have all our answers, and they just don't. We have to do the deep inner work ourselves. You know, sometimes, like, I was saying in the monologue, mental health leaves clues, okay? You know, mental health leaves clues and also mental distress leaves clues. And, you know, we're talking a couple of those. Are there some unrecognized ones that people might not really be familiar with other than what we've just shared?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that you sort of, even that mentioning of that headache, right? People have headaches and they sort of think, okay, I'll take some Advil and keep it moving. But if you're constantly feeling that headache, if there's no real true provocation for that headache, then that could be a sign of stress or anxiety. The other thing is that, you know, even things like feeling really tired, fatigue, you know, right? You may be working really hard. And so you're sort of like, I'm always tired, but there's a different type of tired. You know, there's that fatigue that weighs really heavy on you when you're experiencing stress and anxiety, and that leads to a lack of motivation. You know, it leads to a lack of interest. You might say, oh, well, I don't do that stuff anymore. I don't have time, or I'm not, but you may just not be interested because you're so stressed. You're so anxious. You're so wound up with everything else that's happening for you right now. And so, you know, it's important to look at those little signs, even our moods. You know, we may just say, I just woke up grumpy today, or, you know, I'm just having an off day. What's happening for you? Where is that coming from? Right. So, you know, we may be kind of minimizing a lot of these symptoms and attaching them to other things. Oh, this is the reason for this, and not realizing it's actually a mental health symptom.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think the ultimate baseline is joy. You know, and you said wake up in the morning. You wake up in the morning with joy in your heart, you know, or do you feel like, oh gosh, another day, this is gonna be a struggle. I know I used to wake up that way, so I'm very familiar with it. I had to do a lot of work to, you know, today I wake up, I'm like, yeah, I could already wait to go. Is it every day? Pretty much. So You know, we can do the work and we can change. I had recently a doctor on my show. His name is Dr. Bernie Siegel. And Dr. Bernie Siegel was one of the pioneers of holistic healthcare practicing in the medical community. And he's credited with healing many, many cancer patients, believe it or not, with love, with a lot of love. So I know you've worked extensively with exceptional cancer patients. How is your personal, you know, mindset, belief, or I shouldn't say your personal, how does mindset, belief, emotion impact on cancer healing from your point of view?
I mean, I think that, you know, working with clients who have chronic issues, who have chronic health issues, you know, I think it plays a big role in terms of their motivation, even when it comes to treatment. You know, our perspective can really affect, you know, I think you made reference at some point to like, is it our thoughts? Our thoughts really can guide just how we feel physically, how we maneuver difficult life situations and stressors as they present themselves. And so when we have sort of a positive outlook, you know, it can really help us just find gratitude in whatever space we may be in and really motivate us to do what we need to do to work towards that healing. You know, I think it's just not just cancer, just any health condition, any condition, you know, really our mindset can really affect, you know, ultimately outcomes, right? To what degree? I don't know. But there's definitely a correlation there in terms of what our mindset is, how we experience and move through the situation and navigate it.
I love it. Well, you know, a lot of people have a gut feeling, right? And, you know, I call that gut feeling intuition, right? But I have to say most people's intuition is maybe 40% developed, maybe 50%, maybe 60%. So when we get back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about tuning into the soul's voice and how that helps with healing. And by the way, how do we even know it's the soul's voice or the ego's voice? So we'll be right back. We'll talk about that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I want to let you know that I'll be right back with my guest, Marilyn Lajara, in just a moment. For some of you, if this is an important message, I'd like you to go over to our YouTube channel. You can go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork and subscribe to our channel there. That way you won't miss any of our shows. And I believe even more importantly, you'll be able to pass those shows on to people that you love. So check us out again at youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. Marilyn, we're back.
Hi.
Hey, the soul, you know, it's interesting. We don't have a lot of practitioners talking about the soul in healing in mainstream media, but you have it here. And, you know, I love to talk about that part. How does the soul work with, you know, tuning into maybe deeper wisdom so that people can start to heal?
I mean, that's a great question. I think that it's a personal journey for each person, right? Really connecting with their innermost self. What do they need? You know, what are they experiencing? Are they dealing with trauma? Are they navigating, you know, wounds from childhood that they've carried along that have sort of battered them or brought them down and led to a lot of their decision-making or, you know, how their mental health is manifesting now? And I think it's part of doing that work where sometimes in therapy, we go back to childhood. We go back to those first experiences, those first memories. And, you know, what do we cultivate there? How has that brought us through life to this point, right? What are the things that we find that we need healing in? Sometimes we don't realize until in therapy, we start opening up and going backwards and really seeing like, wow, you know, this is something that I've never experienced before. And, you know, I was missing this sense of safety in my childhood. I was missing a sense of security. I was missing love. Right. And so, you know, I think there's a lot to be said. I think there's still, you know, just so much more, in the studies of navigating, like just that sense of self, and where it comes from. And is it, you know, is it the soul? Is that where we're growing, where we're sort of bringing out the healing from? But I think that for each individual client, there's just that sense of wanting to get back to their core and heal what has hurt them along their way in their journey here, right?
Once a person gets to the core, let's say they acknowledge, you know, I didn't really have great love in my childhood. Okay. I mean, I think a classic would be make a person like Michael Jackson, who created, you know, a whole world around his child, you know, trying to relive his childhood. In today's world, in today's therapy, what are some of the ways that a person can embrace themselves without having to relive their childhood? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of talk in therapy about healing your inner child, right? And some of that work comes from having those sessions at therapy where there are interventions where you may talk to a younger version of yourself, and really start that conversation and hear the voice of your younger self in order to be able to really see how that's presenting now in the here and now, right? Because a lot of the work that we do is focused on the now. And so, you know, you'll hear sometimes clients will say, you know, I did X, Y, and Z, and it was very healing to my inner child. And finding ways to bring that now into their lives as adults. You know, sometimes it's small things. Sometimes it's big things. But when we have those conversations, when we bring them out to light, there's a much healthier manifestation.
Yeah. You know, this is coming more and more to light, especially on shows like mine. I'm not sure it's there in the mainstream media that much. But how emotional wounds are really affecting the physical and the mental and, you know, even the emotional bodies today. Let's talk about that a little bit. So, all right. So I was traumatized. I got in a bad car accident and, you know, I had a head injury and somebody lost their life and, you know, or I come back from the war, you know, I've been traumatized in the war. So how relevant is that to our physical illnesses, right? Is that, can we correlate that exactly now or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's very relevant, right? There's a book that all therapists love to read. You know, The Body Keeps the Score. And basically, even when you are saying, well, I've had this traumatic experience, but I've moved past it and I'm okay. So even when, you know, cognitively you're saying, I don't feel impacted by this anymore, your body still remembers that experience and may very well be acting out in a way that shows you your body is remembering the trauma and it's manifesting in a particular way, in which way it can be different for every individual. But there's definitely a relationship between experiencing, you know, whether it's a small trauma, a big trauma, and just how it shows up for your body, whether that is, you know, again, we see children who maybe don't have much recollection of experiencing trauma as infants, but there's these physical manifestations. And we talk about like psychosomatic symptoms. They don't have a medical explanation, but there has been a history of trauma. There has been, you know, there has been an impact to the client or the person, and this is how it's showing up.
Marilyn, if somebody has, I'm wondering about left brain and right brain right now. So if somebody has let's say they have accidents that seem to impact their left side of their body. Like they'll scrape their left arm, they'll break their left knee, they'll have tooth decay on the left or vice versa, the right. Right. How would you as a therapist even approach something like that? What would you look at?
I mean, I think overall, regardless of where the impact is, right, we have to look at the client as a whole and sort of where does the client feel impacted? What does the client feel is missing? Where is their void? What are they experiencing? And then start there. We talk a lot about meeting the client where they are. And so just because what I'm observing is one thing and what that's maybe where I feel like we should start doesn't necessarily mean that that's where we need to start. We need to start where the client is so that then we can build on that.
Yeah, that's really good. And the void doesn't nest. Is the void always inside? Let's say somebody comes to you and go, well, you know what? You asked me what I'm missing. I need more money. I need a great relationship. I need a new car. I need a new house. What then?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, sometimes we do see that with clients, right? There is, you know, especially with clients from the communities that we service, you know, sometimes there are basic necessities that need to be met, you know, housing, things like that. Or your client has these lavish ideas where they want more money, they want a healthy relationship. And, you know, for as long as your client feels that everything is out of their control, nothing will change. And they won't feel like there's an impact on anything. But as, you know, if you can work with your client to control the things that they can, and what their role is in each of the circumstances that they find themselves in. Like, sure, you know, you're not a millionaire, but you're saying you want access to more income. You know, what are you doing to work towards that? And maybe what are you doing that's working against that? How is what you're doing aligning up with what your actual goals are? And, you know, we highlight that in therapy sometimes, that incongruence between actions and what the ultimate goal or desire is.
You know, a lot of clients come to you, I'm sure, in, you know, they're expressing symptoms that they don't like, or their mate brought them to some kind of counseling, or a child shows up because the mom doesn't like the way that they're behaving. And yet, you know, that the person or child is in denial. So how do we get past those denial barriers and get them into a place of truth, courage, and wisdom? You're going to answer that as soon as I get back from the break. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest in just a moment. I want to let you know that if you haven't already picked up my book, it's called The Courage to Change Everything. It's daily strategies and essential wisdom to awaken that inner genius of yourself so that you can heal just about anything. It's available at courage2change.us or on Amazon, courage2change.us or Amazon. I hope you'll go and check it out. Thanks so much. All righty. My guest is back with me, Marilyn. All right. Let's answer that question that I had before the break.
All right. What was the question? Why don't we work through, someone's sort of
denial. The denial.
Maybe that would be some insight, right?
The denial. Yeah.
I think as a therapist, I never go in trying to just open their eyes and bring the truth to them right away. Like I was saying earlier, you really have to meet the client where they're at. And part of that means that you're forming the relationship, getting to know your client, just fundamentally, like without, thinking about this like big presenting problem that they've come with or whomever has brought them with, and just really connect with your client on just a human level. What do they see themselves as? Like, what is their insight into even why they were brought to therapy? It may not be that they're in denial. They might be aware, but they just don't want treatment, or they don't see an issue or a problem with how they've been navigating through life. Because ultimately for each of us, in many ways, and especially, I think about the clients I've worked with, whatever they have been doing has worked for them to some capacity. Maybe not to 100%, maybe not to yield the outcomes that they necessarily want, but they've gotten this far through those, maladaptive techniques, through denial of whatever it is. And so they may possibly be very convinced that nothing's wrong and they can continue to go about this way, not knowing, that there is a different way to live, a different way to experience things, right? You don't have to be anxious all the time. You don't have to be angry all the time. But if you're always in that space, you don't know anything else. And so, not kind of forcing the client to open their eyes, because that insight is not coming from them. It has to be from them. You can't force something on a client, on anyone. And so I think that's one of the biggest things to remember.
I remember my father, bless his heart. I mean, amazing man, big heart, but he had an anger issue and he would get angry. And, I remember saying to myself, I'll never be like him. I will never do that. And then as I matured and got frustrated, that was the model that I had in my head. Well, this is what you do. You raise your voice, you get angry, you might even throw things. That was my mental model. And, I did therapy for like 5 years myself to overcome a lot of this stuff, because once it's imprinted in the subconscious mind, it seems like it's kind of difficult to get some of this stuff out.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, right? It's we talk about that conversation of nature versus nurture. And if you're in this environment and it's sort of, and you may be predisposed to certain things, right? Then it's sort of a part of who you become. And there's a lot of unlearning that has to happen, which is, I'm sure, what you did in therapy all that time, unlearning a lot of the patterns, unlearning a lot of the behaviors that you had experienced, had seen. And even though your intention was to fight against that, it seemed like you diverted and went into that because it was what you knew and what felt probably comfortable.
Well, I'll tell you what worked for me in therapy, and I think it's kind of our next subject anyway, and that's therapy helped, was a tool for me to open up my creativity. It was a place for me to express those unexpressed emotions. It was a place for me to be able to really find myself, not who I thought I was, but who I really was. And so that creativity part, well, once I found me, creativity exploded. But I started with journaling. I just started with writing one page a day. And that turned into, so 10 years later, turned into my first book. But what do you do with the patients? How does creativity play in therapy today?
Yeah, I mean, I love to hear that, right? I love to hear that full circle moment where you're like, it's turned into my book and this is where I am. So congratulations on that. But yeah. There's always room for creativity in therapy, because much of what is done is with the client, for the client, and what is going to work for the client. When I think about our younger clients, there's a lot of creativity that comes very automatic to a therapist, right? There's a lot of play, there's art, there's, you know, and sometimes as adults, we lose touch with that creativity, or we think adults don't need creativity in the same way, which is actually not true. Adults have the same needs for creativity, and it's just that we have adult problems, right? And that becomes sort of suppressed with time. But like you said, journaling, that's something that I've done with many of my clients. And some of the clients are just like, well, I don't want to journal. I've tried that before. It doesn't work. And we'll start very small. Write a word a day, a thought. Just, it doesn't even need to be a formal book. Just put it on a post-it, on a sticky, just somewhere where you know that you can reference it and we can talk about it when you come back. And it does kind of build up on that. But you have to meet the client, that theme of meeting the client where they're at, explore what the client's interests are. You know, what is this client really interested in? There are some clients who are interested in art. And, you know, you may say, you know what, this seems a little silly, but I'm going to bring out a piece of paper. I'm going to bring out some colored pencils and just kind of draw out what you feel. Yeah. Right. And it really can unravel for the client. It's a release that they might not be expecting. It's just they, you know, there's a way for them to kind of show or symbolize or even visually represent what they're feeling internally, whether that's turmoil, whether it's peace, whatever it is. But it can really give us a lot of insight into where our client is. And it can be a healthy coping skill to use outside of sessions when they are in distress. You know, I've had clients who over time are like, you know, I almost called you, but I actually opened up my journal. I wrote about it and I felt so much better. You know, and they're able to look back and say, wow, you know, I was really going through it in that moment. It's interesting to be able to look back at myself and what I was going through when I look back at my journal.
You know, what I love about therapy is that not only does it help people discover who they are, it also helps them many times discover hidden talents or hidden things that they didn't even know they had in them, right? You know, I think of the, you know, people that I know that create beautiful gardens, or, you know, they grow food now, you know, and that's their art. Or people that decide to go and refurbish cars, and that becomes their art, you know. But it's that creative expression. And I think a lot of times when we are in a place of looking for something outside of ourselves to fix us, right? Whether it's a pill that the doctor gives you, or self-medication, or, you know, the next place to go shop, or the next thing to eat, or, you know, the next person to make your friend, whatever it is, whatever you got going there, looking outside yourself. When you tune into yourself and you start to find that there's ways to fulfill oneself without going outside ourselves, I think that's where the true therapy comes, and that, you know, self-therapy, it's identifying with oneself.
Yeah, I agree with that point. I mean, a lot of the times when we're working with clients who are suicidal or who are high risk for whatever reason, one of the things that we focus on when we're engaging these clients in safety planning is, what are their internal coping skills? What are the things that they can do without anyone else, you know, just themselves? And it's just as important to have those internal coping skills as those supports outside, right? Where we're talking about, oh, you know, I can call a friend, I can call my family. But what can you do just alone when no one else is there? You know, and that's,
yeah. Marilyn, what stops people from taking the first step to therapy? What's the biggest stopper?
I mean, I think there's a few things. Part of it is that stigma we were talking about, and just the feelings of shame and having to bring your very personal, deep-rooted issues to someone else, a stranger whom you worry may judge you or criticize you or label you. You know, we're afraid of being labeled, of being judged. There's also other things, sometimes accessibility. You know, there can be a lack of accessibility. Do I have insurance coverage for this? How much is a session? You know, can I pay for this? Can I afford it? And if I can't, then that's already an obstacle. That's a big hurdle to overcome, you know, because unfortunately, like, there isn't amazing universal mental health coverage through insurances, you know, and, you know, insurance, you know, it, it's a big hurdle for clients in many ways. You know, I think after COVID, there has been an increase in accessibility in the sense that we are seeing more value in addressing mental health as just as important as physical health and all parts of health. And now also there's telehealth. Clients can access therapy services virtually. And so I think that's been a big game changer in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's a big game changer. And, you know, a lot of times mental health leads to addiction because people are trying to fix what they're trying to fulfill something that they feel like they're lacking. And I just mentioned this because I know that if for some reason you can't afford a therapist, although I'd sure check into the city's, you know, what city services are available for you. There's a lot of support groups out there for the addictions, right? Whether it's shopping addiction, overeating, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever. There's a lot of therapy. Most of those are free, so, or very inexpensive. All right, you are working with the New York Psychotherapy Counseling Center, and we're just going to call that NPCC for short. Is that right?
NYPCC.
NY, New York. I forgot that York. NYPCC. So let me take a quick break. We'll get back. I'd like to take a little dive into some of the programs that are available there and what you do there. So we will take a quick break and walk right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking with my guest, Marilyn Lajara. She's been in the mental health services business for over 15 years. Right now, she's associated with New York Psychotherapy Counseling Center, NYPCC for short. I think I got that right this time. And so let's talk a little bit about the organization, your role there, and how people might be able to get support.
Yeah. So we just turned 51. We were founded in 1974. And since then, we have been working within the communities. We have actually four family and child mental health clinics based throughout the city of New York. We have a site in Queens and Jackson Heights. We have a site in the Bronx. It's actually our largest site. And we have two sites in Brooklyn, in Bushwick and East New York. So we service, you know, 20,000 clients plus through both in-person and telehealth services. And with the agency, I've transitioned through multiple roles. I actually was a full-time therapist, then transitioned to clinical supervisor. And now I oversee our training department where I assist with the training and development of all of our therapists that come into the agency to make sure that our clients are getting the best care. That's really important to us. And so, you know, one of the best things that we do is that we're accessible. We are in the communities. People know us. They've heard about us. We have an outreach team that is constantly out in the community, spreading the word, going to schools, making appearances, you know, at community events. You know, our website is nypcc.org, and you can reach out. You know, all the numbers for our clinics are there. You can reach out and really actually self-refer yourself. We don't need a referral from a doctor, a psychiatrist. You can refer yourself, your child, and just give us a call. If we are unable to, you know, provide you with the service that we're looking for, that you're looking for, we're actually happy to provide you with referrals or anything needed. But we focus on providing verbal therapy. We also have psychiatry services. And again, we provide our services both in person and in telehealth. And we have a staff that speak multiple languages. So
with telehealth, can you service somebody in California? Or you have to be in New York.
So we do have a remote program where we have therapists who are based out of New York. And so, you know, most of our clients are actually in New York, you know, just because of ease in many ways and accessibility that way. But you can definitely like reach out to us. And again, if we're unable to provide you with the service that you need, we'll connect you with a referral in your local area if you're looking to come in person.
Okay. So we've gotten rid of the stigmas. We've gotten rid of the denial. we've gotten rid, we've given you some ideas on how, you know, what this could be like for you. So there's no reason if you're there going, you know what, I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, I'm going to change my life around. You pick up, you go to the website that we put up on the screen here just a minute ago, which is NYPCC.org. You go there, you just go to the website, find out, reach out to somebody that can is there. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, they will help you find where you need to go. That's the bottom line here. Is that right, Marilyn?
That's right. We're open 7 days a week.
All right.
We do not close.
Well, that our time went like that. I want to thank you so much for being here. It was very informative. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, you gave our audience a lot of information and ways that they can really, I believe, take their lives to the next level. So thank you again. And I want to thank all of you for joining us. You know, remember to pass on this show. And till we meet next time, realize that within you is the power to heal just about anything. In fact, anything. You tap into your soul. Take care. Till next time.